This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Everts, CPA with Parr Mellison Associates. So as my first podcast during a new year and also my first podcast during a new tax season, what better way to kick off than go down through some changes for this year? So some of these we've talked about, like overtime, but some of this is new information and also new information about stuff that we already have. Also, did you know that you can write off your personal vehicle loan interest this year? Like anything else, there's some ins and outs to understand and make sure that you're getting all of your deductions this tax season. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to have your question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle for purchase. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Give Parr Mellison a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to get your back office and parts reconciliation under control, give Wicked File a call. And if you need to recruit top talent for your top shop, give Promotive a call right now. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. So what are we going to be talking about this week? We really have four things that we're talking about. We're going to be talking about the new tips rules. We're going to be talking about the new overtime rules, car loan interest, and then I have a bonus one for you guys. Luckily on the bonus one, there is nothing that you have to do to get it, but it's a cool one, and specifically to give you a little teaser for some of our older listeners. But to kind of circle back on this, why are we talking about all this? We've talked about this in the past, specifically like the tips and overtime we talked about before the end of the year, but I want to make sure that you guys are aware of all the ins and outs on this. We just got our new tax software, which is a reminder, it's tax season, send us your personal tax documents. We cannot file any tax returns for a while. The way the IRS does is they release all this stuff. I guess we're the guinea pigs to yell and scream if stuff doesn't look right. And then they come back and they re-release it with the final forms, and then they open e-filing. But right now, some of the questions where I'm like, guys, I don't know how we're going to report this. I don't know what the tax system is going to ask. We know about this stuff. I know what they're going to ask for your overtime deduction. And a little bury the lead here, you're not getting an overtime deduction. You're the owner of the business. But how to make sure that your team is capturing this, how to make sure that your team is getting this write-off. If no one does this, like if you have a team member that you pay overtime to and they don't put that on their tax return, they don't get a tax deduction. I don't get that money. You don't get that money. The IRS does. And we don't like the IRS to win. We cannot let the IRS win, which is why I'm getting this stuff out there. And I want to give you guys real life advice to either use for yourself, share with a team, share with a family member that this does apply to. But these are rules, right? Anytime we talk about this or talk about tax minimization, people always go back to it like, you guys made the rules. You guys made the rules. Don't get mad at us for using them. And this episode is all about that. They've created these rules. Listen to this episode. Make sure that you're doing the right thing. Make sure that you're sharing this with your team because we do not want the IRS to win. An enemy of my enemy is a friend of mine. Is that how it goes? We all have a common enemy here. No offense to any IRS employees. If you're listening, I'm sure that you're great people. We just don't like what you stand for. So, talking about lowering our tax bill on this, we got four things to go down through today. Let's start off with the tips. I've gotten this question like five times, and I need to be explicitly clear about this one. You guys do not qualify for that. In my notes, it says you probably don't qualify. You don't qualify. It is not customary in the past. You guys have never reported tip income in the past. It is not customary for this industry. I get it. There's some wiggle rooms. I've heard the pay plans. Don't do it. It's just not going to fly. I don't think that there is an auto repair shop out there that has ever reported taxable tips in the past. If you think that you really have a business, if you really think that you have a shop and you're like, Hunt, I think tips qualifies for me. As always, I always tell you guys this. If you have a question, shoot me a message. I'm answering it for free. I've never charged a single one of you for answering a question, but I'd like to know. And if you are that one in the situation, I will share your story in the future to let people aware of. But if you're not, I promise I'll keep your secret safe. On the tips, guys, it's not going to work. If you have a bar, if you have a restaurant, yeah, you're not going to be paying tax on tips. The cool part about this one, though, is for those people that do have employees that are paid tips, it's already on the W-2. You don't have to overthink this one. There's really nothing that you do differently on it. They just get taxed slightly different. Overtime and tips have been talked about a lot kind of together. They're kind of in the same bill. Well, they are in the same bill. They're kind of mentioned at the same time. But unlike tips, you guys do qualify for overtime. Now, again, you specifically, if you're listening to this and you're the owner of a shop, you're the ones signing a paycheck, overtime does not qualify for you. And so we'll talk about that in a little bit of who this does not qualify for. But the overall idea here is that they came out, they announced you're allowed to make up to whatever, and you don't have to pay any tax on overtime. A lot of people immediately thought that that overtime amount that I get on my payroll, I'm not paying any tax on any of that amount. I mentioned this before. We did this a couple weeks ago. So I want to go down through the part that you guys know. And then, like I said, we have some new information. So what this is and how to figure out the qualified overtime amount is kind of a rehash. We've talked about this. But how we put this, where it goes on the tax return is all new. What we are actually looking for and what people need to put into their tax return is called the qualified overtime amount. This morning, I went down through my tax software. We actually have had some of our clients that have already submitted their tax documents. But like I said, if you're a shop owner, we are not going to do this because you do not qualify. You're the owner of the business. You're the one that controls your pay. You have what's called non or required overtime. It doesn't matter for you. We've been doing some people's kids and stuff that worked for restaurants or whatever. And this is what we found out. They don't want to know your total overtime. They want to know what your qualified overtime is. And I have to be very, very clear about this. Total overtime is not what you get a tax break on. You get a tax break on qualified overtime. I'm going to go into a couple of different situations because it's probably different than what you think. Qualified overtime, meaning the amount that you put into your tax return, on the surface is very simple. It's going to be 1/3 of your overtime amount. And some of you guys might be thinking, well, Hunt, why do I only get 30% of my overtime amount? What they're actually looking for is your overtime premium. It's that premium that you get paid over your hourly base rate. Still confused? So if you make $100 an hour, your overtime rate at time and a half is $150. We are not going to get the credit for the 100, only the additional 50. If you make $150 an hour for overtime, your overtime premium, i.e., your qualified overtime, is $50. Even though on the pay stub, it's going to show you that you made $150 in overtime, you divide that by 3, and the time and a half, we're only getting the deduction on the half time. How many people are going to screw this up? How many people are going to put triple the amount in there? I am sure a ton, guys. Like, this is, when I looked at this, when I went down through, I said, this is going to be really abused. Also, unlike the tips, this is not going to be on the W-2. If you missed the last episode and you only heard about this when the first big beautiful bill just came out, they actually said they were going to come out and update the forms and tips would, or overtime would actually be reported on the W-2. For 2025, it is not reported on the W-2. It's not possible. There's nowhere to put it. It is also not required as an employer for 2025 to give your employees this amount. Like I said before, are you going to save any money by your employees taking this deduction? No, you're not. This is completely on their tax return. Do you think that you have, you know, a financial incentive, an obligation, a responsibility, moral or whatever, to notify your employees of this? Personally, I think yes. Notify your employees. If they have overtime, make sure to get them a copy of their pay stub. Show them how to get this stuff and show them to get the deduction. Worst case scenario, they take too much of a deduction. I would take that over taking nothing at all. So make sure it's only the overtime premium amount. I've heard some payroll providers are actually giving this on the pay stub and calculating this. But when I've been looking at this, a lot of them have not wanted to touch that. Why have they not wanted to touch this? When they know how much overtime that you pay your people. Why is ADP looking at this and saying, Hunt, I know that you paid your employee $1,500 in overtime, but I don't know how much of that is qualified. There is a lot of issues here, a ton, depending on what state you live in, especially more. some of you guys have different rules for overtime than the federal standards. The Fair Labor Standards Act, FLSA, is what kind of sets the rules for federal overtime and all states of federal labor laws. Most states conform to that, meaning how do you qualify for overtime? Ask the feds. Other states have their own overtime rules. California, your overtime rules are different than the feds. New York, you have some different rules as well. It all comes down to how you qualify this. Some states have overtime rules per day. The way that the feds work is if you work more than 40 hours in a given week, you get overtime. Some other states have it where if you work more than 8 hours in a day, you get overtime. Let's say that you had one guy that worked 3 days, 40 hours. In some states, he's actually going to get overtime on those 40 hours. That employee would not get any qualified overtime because it did not pass the overtime rules from the federal standard, only the state. I get it, guys. This is confusing. How the hell is an employee ever supposed to figure that out? I don't know, but it's something to look out for.
Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always-be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotive, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotive, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and experience the power of Promotive's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. Some of you guys do overtime, or some of you guys do double time on overtime. If you work on this day, you get time and a half. And if you work on this day or do this thing, you get time and a half or even triple time. I've seen it, not very common. That does not qualify here. Only federal time and a half qualifies. Another thing on this one is, maybe you're paying employees overtime, but it's all kind of built into the commission. This is where the stuff gets a little bit tricky because you as an employer are not obligated to do absolutely anything for your employees. You are allowed to estimate if you don't have a good way of doing it, and your employees are as well. So this year, I think is going to be a big change every year. Make sure that you tell your employees to keep an eye out for this. Make sure to tell them that your overtime amount is going to be listed on the pay stub. But really, that is the long and short of what the employees need to do. If I'm an employee, what do I need? You need a W-2 and a pay stub. And that's really it. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, like I said before, what if my boss didn't put on the pay stub? It's optional this year. So you're allowed to estimate it. Think about this though, guys. When you file your tax return, they know what's on your W-2. You mess around with your W-2, you're going to get a tax notice immediately. The IRS gets reported all this stuff. The IRS does not ever see your pay stub. There's no way for the IRS to see your pay stub. So if you put $5,000 on there, is there something that the IRS can quickly cross-reference to see if you actually made that much in overtime? No. Do I think that people are going to be filing some wild tax returns this year? Yes. Not advising it, guys, but the worst thing that you can do here is not deduct anything at all. The last question on this, probably the most commonly asked one that we just were not sure about, and we still don't have the full rules on this guy, is do I qualify? Hunt, I am an owner of an S corporation. I run a repair shop. I work really, really hard, and I work overtime. Do I qualify? You can pay yourself whatever you want. Now, this would go back to what I have long talked about is, I'm not necessarily even caring about you working or you paying yourself that overtime. I'm going to say, why are we paying ourselves that much in wages? We're probably paying ourselves too much in payroll taxes. But the IRS did give us some clarity on this. They say, if you are an owner of an S corporation, you do not qualify for overtime. that comes out. It goes back and kind of references FLSA rules on this. It's the same reason why you're not going to get sued for not paying yourself overtime. You will get sued for not paying your employees. You will not get sued for not paying yourself. This also goes to family members as well. I get it. There's some gray area on the kids. If your kids are legitimately working and legitimately getting overtime, but it looks like the spouse is an absolute no. Again, this stuff gets kind of strange on it because they've never done this in the past, and it kind of creates a domino effect. Because like I get the argument, it's, hey, little Johnny works for me. He's 25 years old. He works 3,000 hours a year. He makes a ton of overtime. Why is he getting penalized just because he's my kid? The other avenue would be is a lot of you guys have your kids working and you might not be paying them fair market value wages because you pay for their house, pay for their car, whatever. If you make it so that all of these kids are eligible to get the overtime deduction, then that means that they can also penalize you guys for not paying your family overtime, which they're not going to do. Given a take on it, again, be careful. But if it's a family member working in the business, you control the hours, you control the amount of, you know, how they get paid on it. The IRS isn't going to want to see this on the taxes. We went down through the tips. Sound good. That's probably out. We probably won't see a ton of that even in my firm at all. On the overtime, I don't think that we're going to see a lot of this overtime stuff in my firm either, because while we only work with people in the automotive industry, we're generally working with the owners who are exempt, not necessarily your employees. This next one that we talk about, I don't think is actually going to apply to a ton of you guys either, but it's a pretty cool one that we haven't talked a lot. And then the last one will apply to you if you were born before a certain date. The one that we have never really talked about in detail, when the big beautiful bill came out, they mentioned this. I don't even know if it would show up on the final bill. It did. Here it is. We're here to talk about it. But car loan interest. This is a fun one. But this is also pretty cool to see in this industry, because whenever people come out and we make tax rules, I always talk about this, but they make tax rules as a way to change your behavior. How did they get you guys to buy more equipment? Come out with new bonus or 179 rules. You guys can write this all off in the first year. How much money do you think the dealers were advocating to get this put into place? The way that it works is this. You get up to $10,000 write-off for car loan interest. So if you pay $10,000 worth of car loan interest last year, you can write off that entire amount. How much is that going to save you on taxes? Maybe $3,000. That is a pretty sizable write-off. There is a ton of rules on this, guys. It needs to have been bought after January 1st of 2025. So this has to be a car that was purchased last year. It doesn't work for existing loans before that. It has to be less than 14,000 pounds. None of this stuff is sounding that bad. And it has to be personally registered. So what's the catch here, Hunt? I'll go back and I'll ask you this, because I said, I don't think a lot of you guys are going to qualify for this. I don't think we're going to see a ton of these. How many of you guys bought a new vehicle last year by a show of hands? Well, Hunt, yeah, I bought a new vehicle, right? Yeah, but we probably advocated and I probably recommended that you bought that business or that vehicle in your business. Well, yeah. If you bought a new vehicle last year and it's in your business, we're already getting a write-off. That's a business vehicle, which means we can write off the cost, the upkeep, the maintenance of it, as well as the financing. If I got a brand new F-250 last year and it's on the business books, then the good news is this law doesn't apply to me because we get the benefit of being self-employed and this stuff is already getting written off. This is going to eliminate a ton of you guys. If you bought a new vehicle last year, and there's even more rules that you guys don't know about yet, and it's registered in the business, it's already on QuickBooks. The good news is you don't need to give us any information because we're already writing it off. Now, if you bought a car last year, we didn't know about it completely personal, then keep listening because we could have some write-offs here. There are going to be people that get this, but I don't think that there's going to be that many people that get the full amount because you can write off up to $10,000, but that's a lot of interest. Also, guys, you cannot make $1 million and get this write-off. This starts to phase out at $100,000 personally, or if you're married, you guys can make up to $200,000. Why do I not think we're going to see this full write-off? Let's say that you make $100,000 a year. Your take-home pay is going to be $75,000 or so. If you don't do anything for retirement, if you're saving money, putting away for your retirement, you don't have $75,000 to blow, probably $60,000, but just follow along. In order to get the full amount of this credit, you would have to be paying $10,000 in interest, not a car payment. who the hell is spending 15% of their take-home pay on car loan interest? Not a car payment, but just interest. If this is you, I can't help you. The IRS can't help you. You need to seek help on this. But really, I think that they wanted to put this out there because the cap seems really high, but kind of clever. Because once you put the income limitations in there, like, I hope that there's not someone paying $10,000 a car loan interest. I know there is. Don't reach out to me about that. If you are getting the maximum amount of car loan interest, do not be happy with what the IRS did for you. Be mad at whatever that car salesman signed you up for, because this is wild. Even on this stuff, guys, like, there's still going to be a lot of people that get this credit, just not the full amount because of what the rules we talked about. There's a ton of people out there that are not self-employed, that make less than 100 grand, that got a new car last year, that are going to get a write-off. There's a lot of you guys that checked all of those boxes, and we haven't got to the real kicker here, and it's going to knock this out. So first and foremost on here, the dealers that went to Congress, that went to DC to advocate that they pass this stuff, they can't sell new cars. They're not worried about the used cars, so used cars don't qualify. If you want to get this car loan deduction, doesn't work on used car, has to be new cars. This stuff is really not that surprising and probably still didn't knock out that many of you. The big one and the last one here, and I'm going to do air quotes, is made in the USA. So this car has to be made in the USA. Do I need to buy an American car in order to qualify for this? Now, I would argue that you might not even qualify for this if you buy a quote-unquote American car. Final assembly in the USA. What qualifies as made in the USA? Just like a lot of industries on it, the final assembly has to take place here. If you want to look this up online, there's actually certifications on this. Believe me, if a new car is selling you something that qualifies for this, that salesman is going to let you know about it. But just like anything, there is probably going to be twice as many salesmen that tells you that your car qualifies for it. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news in April to tell you that it's not. If you go on there, if you look this up, you can see what qualifies, what not. Give you an example on this. I've talked about this. You know I'm a big BMW fan and also a fan of wagons and Tourings. But let's say that you wanted to go out and get the new BMW M5 Touring wagon. That does not qualify for this. You might be saying to yourself, well, hon, it's a BMW. Of course it doesn't. Well, if you want an SUV, most of the X3s and X5s are actually currently built in South Carolina. So you might actually be able to get away with this. Just because it's a German manufacturer does not mean it doesn't qualify. This is the weird part. I've even looked at this before because in the past they've had similar things, not on the loan interest, but they've always been kind of strict on where this was built. But some of these is going down to trim packages. Like I've seen one where the hybrid was built one way and all the other ones were built somewhere else. I've seen ones where it's like specific weird colors or weird trim packages are built in America and not necessarily other places. But just take a look. Should this change your behavior? Yeah, maybe. And this is kind of where a lot of times I advocate on people of like, you don't always want to try and save money because sometimes it could end up costing you more money. The new and used car market is a great example because as you can see here, it is not a free market. It is completely manipulated by the credit department and the government. But if I'm comparing a new car to a used car, the used car is probably going to be $10,000 cheaper. The loan interest is going to be higher because used cars always have higher interest rates than new cars. Also, how much money am I going to be able to save if I can write off the cost of this new car loan for the next 3 years versus the used car where I get no write-off for? Factor this in. At the end of the day, it's your money. It's your decision. The thing that I hate is every once in a while, I'll see people that went out and spent new car money on a used car, which again, always stings, but it's going to be a double sting if you can no longer get the interest for this as well. Like I said before, I don't think I'm going to see a ton of this, guys. I would still argue that, yeah, why am I going to try to get to $10,000 max with some phase outs and stuff like this personally? We're always going to argue as a self-employed shop owner, get this on the business. If you do have this, if you do have this personally, the good news is that unlike the tips and overtime, it's super simple. Your bank is going to send you a 1098, just like essentially what you get for your mortgage statement. It's just going to be for a car note. Give that to us. We're going to go ahead and file it. As a caveat here, before I get to the last and the final one. So the last and the final one is the easiest one. You don't need to take notes on it because there's nothing you need to do. Just be breathing air and alive. You're going to get the deduction. Those first three that I talked about, we are going to ask you, if you are a client, you're going to not have to remember. I would hope that you remember. We're going to bug you. We're going to remind you. We're going to get you questionnaires. I do not want any of my clients to miss a deduction. You guys know what you know. If you don't know about it, we are going to miss it. That is how my firm does it. That is how I do it for my clients. If you are not my client, if you have some other accountant that does your taxes, ask them about this stuff. Not everyone looks at your returns and saying, hey, how can I save my client the most amount of money? If you don't have your accountant bring it up, make sure to remind them about this stuff. Because yeah, if you don't get it, no one else is going to benefit. We're just going to lose it. I gave you a lot. I gave you a lot of rules and a lot of regulations. This last one is the reason I saved it for last, because it's probably my favorite one on here. And it's also super, super easy. I promise you a bonus one. You don't have to do anything for it. But if you were born before 1961, you get this next deduction. I like this one a lot. This is a tax deduction for people that have been in the country and paying taxes for, at this point, 45 years, right? So if you're born before 1961, you qualify for this. No offense to you. I'm not calling you a senior citizen. The IRS is, but they are calling this the new senior tax break. 65 doesn't seem that old, but you will take the old tag if it means that you get a tax deduction. It's super easy. You don't have to tell us. You don't have to tell your accountant. It's already in the software. If you are 65 or older, you are going to get a tax break on here. How much is this tax break? So it is a $6,000 deduction per person. So if you are single, you get a $6,000 tax break. If you are married and you're both over that legal age, you get a $12,000 tax break. So if you're single, you're going to be saving like $1,500. And if you're married, you're going to be saving like $3,000. If you're married and you're making $140,000, you're going to be paying tax on $128,000. I love this one. I think that this is directed at a population that doesn't cost a lot of money, that has arguably already paid a massive amount of taxes. If you have to think, a lot of these people that are over 65, a lot of their income is self-serving. A lot of these people's income is coming from Social Security or retirement plans that have had some sort of tax laid on them throughout their life. I've always kind of been confused on, we're making tax as we make it. We've been making tax as we've earned it. We've been making tax when we've invested it. At what point do we stop getting taxed on it? The car loan interest is going to get abused into oblivion. The overtime is probably going to get screwed up and abused knowingly or unknowingly, and probably the tips as well. Of all of these, I think that this one is the best as far as targeted. It's just going to work. And it's going to affect the people that it should affect. If you are 68 years old and you and your spouse are making 400 grand, you're not going to get a tax break. And I don't argue that you should. But two people just recently retired, you're 67 years old, against Social Security, a little bit of retirement money, making 120 grand a year. This is going to cut your tax bill down by 10, 15%. Yeah, that's cool. This is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to reward the people that have kind of, you know, contributed to our tax base over the years. And I think it's doing exactly that. Does all this mean that I should go out and age myself or buy a super high interest car loan to save some money on taxes? No, obviously not. But if you're 70 years old and you have a 15% loan, the only thing that could hurt worse is not getting the deduction for it. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Don't forget to check out the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app on your favorite podcast listing apps. Just want to say thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.